Ever feel like you're just going through the motions? Like you're supposed to be doing something, but you're not really sure why anymore?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like we all celebrate birthdays.
Yeah.
Have you ever stopped to think, like, why do we even do that?
It's interesting, isn't it? We just sort of inherit these traditions.
Yeah, exactly. And today we're going to do a deep dive into this kind of thing.
Oh,
We're
cool.
looking at some ancient wisdom that might give us a new perspective on all this, you know?
All right, I'm intrigued.
We're cracking open the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter one.
Oh, wow. Getting right into it.
Yeah, it talks about this ritual of burnt offerings. Now, I know that might sound a little intense.
Little fire and brimstone.
Right? But stick with us.
Yeah.
There's some seriously insightful stuff here.
Okay.
Okay, so first things first. Leviticus is part of the Bible. And for Jewish people, it's a core part of the Torah. It lays out all these laws and rituals for the Israelites. And in chapter one, we get this glimpse into the practice of burnt offerings. So picture this. You're an Israelite. You've just escaped slavery in Egypt.
Wow.
You're wandering through the desert,
Okay.
and you've got this portable sanctuary called the tabernacle.
I've heard of that.
Right. And at the entrance of this tabernacle, you're making these offerings to God.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
not
wow.
just some casual thing either.
Yeah.
This is a very structured ritual with very specific instructions.
Like what kinds of things?
So we're talking about animal sacrifices, bulls, sheep, goats,
Yeah.
even birds.
Wow, the whole
Yeah.
barnyard.
Right. And they're completely burned on an altar.
Oh, wow. So this was a big deal.
A big deal. But it's not like they just grabbed any old animal and tossed it on the fire.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
The animal had to be perfect,
Yeah.
without a single blemish, the absolute best of the best.
That's interesting. It's like they were saying this isn't just some chore. We're giving God the most valuable thing we have.
Exactly. It was about showing true devotion. And it gets even
Okay.
more interesting. The person making the offering would actually lay their hands on the animal's head.
Oh, wow.
Imagine the weight of that gesture.
Right.
Symbolically transferring all their burdens, their hopes, their everything onto this creature.
Wow, that's powerful.
Right. It's a powerful image of surrender, acknowledging a power greater than themselves. And it wasn't a solo act either. The priests, they played a crucial role.
Okay, how so?
Well, they would sprinkle the blood around the altar, carefully cut the animal into pieces, arrange them on the wood, and then burn everything. The head, the fat, the inwards, everything was consumed by the fire.
Wow, a complete offering.
Right. Given with intention and reverence. And the smoke rising from the altar was seen as pleasing to God, a symbol of their connection to the divine.
I see. It's all very symbolic.
Yeah, I'll admit, it's a little hard to wrap our modern minds around the whole animal sacrifice thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a very different world we live in now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if we can look past the literal act, what's fascinating is how this ancient ritual taps into some very human needs.
Like what?
The desire to connect with something bigger than ourselves, to make amends, to show devotion.
Those are pretty universal.
Right. And those needs are just as relevant today as they were thousands of years ago.
So how do we bridge that gap then between these ancient rituals and our modern lives? I mean, obviously we're not building altars in our backyards.
Right.
Yeah.
At least most of us aren't. But are there deeper lessons here that we can apply to our everyday experiences?
Absolutely. And that's where things get really interesting. It's like, even though it seems so archaic, you know, the method, the underlying stuff, it's still relevant.
Okay, so let's break it down then. We've got these ancient rituals with all the symbolism. What can we actually take away from it? Like, for someone listening right now, how can this help them live a more meaningful life?
Well, let's start with the offering itself. Like, they didn't just throw any old animal on there.
Right.
They picked a perfect one, the best they had. And they brought it as this deliberate act of worship.
So it was about being present in the moment, really focused on that connection.
Exactly. And it wasn't just going through the motions, it was about intention.
Like instead of just scrolling through social media all day.
Yeah. Or like rushing through a work project. If you really approach things as an offering, put that same effort in.
That's a powerful thought.
It's a total mindset shift, you know?
It makes me think about that second element you mentioned too, the purity and wholeness thing.
Oh, yeah, the animals had to be spotless, representing something pure and complete.
And even though we're not sacrificing animals anymore, it's still about striving for excellence.
Right, and not just for show or for someone else, it's about reflecting your own values.
So, like taking pride in your work, even if nobody else sees it.
Exactly. Or showing up authentically in your relationships, being true to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there's sacrifice for growth.
Ah, yes. Now, sacrifice can sound a bit intense,
Yeah, a little bit.
but it's not about deprivation. It's about understanding that sometimes you got to give something up to get something even greater.
Like the Israelites giving up their best livestock
Yeah.
to deepen their relationship with God.
Exactly. And today that might mean giving up your time or comfort or some immediate pleasure to invest in something bigger.
Like choosing to exercise instead of sleeping in.
Or saving up for something special instead of impulse buying.
Right. Delayed gratification.
Yeah, it leads to a richer life in the long run.
But there's one thing I'm still trying to figure out. In Leviticus, these offerings were for God. But in our modern world, who or what are we making these offerings to?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is personal. You know,
Ditto.
it could be to a higher power if you're spiritual, but it could also be to a cause you believe in or to your community, your loved ones, even to your future self.
So it's about connecting with something larger than yourself.
Exactly. Something that gives your life
So it's
purpose.
not really about the recipient. It's about the spirit of the offering.
Yes. That intentionality, the purity of heart, and the willingness to sacrifice for something bigger.
That's powerful. And it makes me wonder, how do people actually apply this in their everyday lives? Are there real-world examples of this ancient wisdom in action?
Oh, yeah, tons.
Yeah, like a treasure hunt for a meeting.
Ha, exactly. Like, think about artists.
Okay.
They pour their heart and soul into their work, you know, offering their creativity and vulnerability to the world.
It's like they're giving a part of themselves to create something beautiful.
Yeah. And when we experience art that's been created like that, it moves us, it inspires us.
It becomes its own kind of offering.
Right. From the artist to the viewer, and then from the viewer back to the artist through their appreciation.
That's a nice way to think about it.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, are there other areas where we can see this? Like even in business.
Oh, totally. There's this whole movement towards ethical and purpose-driven businesses.
Okay, so it's not just about making money.
Right. It's about making a positive impact.
So they're considering their employees,
Yeah.
the environment, the communities they serve.
Exactly. It's about offering something of value to the world.
Like they're saying, this is how we're making a difference.
Yeah. And it's not always about big sweeping changes.
Right. It can be smaller things too.
Totally. Like even in our everyday interactions with our friends and family.
Okay, so how does this offering idea apply to our relationships?
Well, it starts with being authentic, you know, being honest with yourself and with each other.
So no more pretending.
Exactly. It's about offering your true self.
What about sacrifice? That seems tough in relationships.
Well, yeah. True love takes effort. You have to be willing to compromise, to put your partner's needs first sometimes.
It's about giving without expecting anything in return.
Exactly. You're making an offering to the relationship itself.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I think it really ties back to everything we've been talking about today.
Right. It's all connected.
These ancient principles from Leviticus. It's like they offer this timeless wisdom for how to live a more meaningful life.
And even in our busy modern world, it's a reminder that these simple acts of offering, they really matter.
So whether it's our time or our energy or our love, these offerings can make a real difference.
Exactly. Not just in our own lives, but in the world around us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today, I think the message is clear. The spirit of offering is still alive and well.
It's up to us to embrace it.
Yeah, to find those opportunities and to really live with intention and purpose.
And who knows, maybe if we all do that, the world will be a little bit brighter, you know.
That's a great thought. And on that note, we'd love to hear from you. How do you see the spirit of offering showing up in your own life? Share your thoughts with us on social media. We always love to hear from you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and
Yeah.
keep offering your best self to the world.